talk about it, and we would have to talk about it. And so, does that answer?
Yeah, that answers the question. Okay.
Further questions?
Well, I only want to mention one other thing that, you know, weighs in my mind on this. And I do appreciate the new whereas, but I also realize that this is, you know, this is an issue, as I think Commissioner Leonard states, will affect every police and firefighter throughout the state of Oregon. It will also affect every government, every governing body throughout the state of Oregon that has police and fire responsibilities. And, you know, I can't help but, you know, I think we've talked a lot in this council about recognizing we are, you know, part of the state as opposed to that old familiar city of 500,000 or more people that always gets carved out of state legislation, and that we need to work consistently with our colleagues throughout the state. And right now, you know, you pick up the paper every day, all you're hearing about is how Josephine County and Douglas County are shutting down libraries and losing 68% of their general fund due to federal tax payments for timber receipts going away, expired. The League of Oregon Cities has together strongly opposed the legislation 2404 and 400, as have police, fire, and chiefs throughout the state, and sheriffs as well. So I have to weigh what position we take on a resolution that kind of touches on those bills with what I feel is sort of a consistent position that we have to demonstrate if we're truly serious about saying, you know, we are, Portland is part of the rest of the state of Oregon, and we want to work together on issues.
So well, I guess on that, Commissioner, I mean, I just want to be clear in the record that, you know, I'm not going to let that stand undebated. I've actually been on the phone with the president of the League of Cities, on whose board I served three times this morning, trying to talk through compromise language. They recognize that it's that we have a duty to work with our unions as well as theirs, and that we do have a different situation in terms of how we bargain things. And so, you know, it's in flux. They're pushing and pulling. I wouldn't say there's agreement, but the idea that if we do in fact take a different position than the League of Cities board, that signals that we're not serious about working with the rest of the state is inflammatory and not accurate.
Further questions for these three folks? Thank you. How many people are signed up to testify?
We have two people signed up, Ken Burns and Amanda Fritz.
As Ken is coming up, I would like to announce that this is his maiden appearance before the council since being elected president of the Portland Firefighters Association last December. And so I want to recognize that and welcome Ken to City Council.
Appreciate that. Mr. Mayor, council members, I appreciate you taking the time today to discuss this important resolution. Senate Bill 400, or let's just call it the safety bill from now, as I see maybe a variance of that resolution coming down, is really about communication. This bill allows safety issues to be discussed at the bargaining table. The City of Portland has already demonstrated the importance of communication, safety, and partnership between city officials and public safety officers. Portland Fire has 4 persons on every apparatus key to safety. We're working, as funds become available, for radios for all members. We're working towards a 4th district to help in accountability. Through processes like our safety committee, labor management committee, Portland has become a leader in the state of how to communicate effectively between management and labor. Unfortunately, not every city has the processes that Portland has to discuss those safety issues. This is actually an opportunity for Portland to once again take the lead, and by supporting Senate Bill 400 or a version of that makes safety a key component of bargaining, we're doing the right thing. We need to support safety for all emergency responders throughout the state. It's not just about Portland Fire. Senate Bill 400 does not obligate anyone. It does not impose the union's will on anyone. It simply provides the groundwork for discussions regarding safety issues. It does not affect the last best offer, and it does not affect the ability to pay. For those cities who are less fortunate financially than we are, who can't afford four persons on an apparatus, that this bill will not make them wake up one morning and have to double and quadruple their size of personnel. The financial cost has to be available for the city to absorb that cost. Thus, the ability to pay is an important part to remember. In closing, this bill makes sense. The men and women who are on the streets risking their lives have a right to have a discussion regarding safety during their bargaining process. For those cities such as ours who are already having those decisions, this bill has no effect. We will continue labor management process, safety committee. We will continue doing the right thing. For the other cities who have been unwilling to discuss safety issues, this will merely provide the groundwork for that discussion to occur. It does not impose the union's will. It merely lies the foundation for a discussion regarding safety. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions regarding our position on this measure.
I have one, Ken, recognizing you're new, I would just like to ask you what the current law is in regards to direct and substantial impact versus potential. How do you see the difference playing out both here in Portland and around the state?
Here's what I would say is that there's a potential impact for a firefighter to get hurt on every call he goes on. It's one day someone wakes up and says, I think we should put two people on a fire engine instead of four. Well, they haven't went on a call yet, so they haven't got hurt yet. But as soon as they go on a call and they try to save someone's life, but they don't have the manpower or the backup, and they get hurt. Well, the potential was there, but until they respond on the call, you can't prove it. So the potential is important. One can theorize that one person on a fire engine would not be satisfactory in the way of safety. Four is better than one. So the idea of potential, one might think, well, the potential was there. Someone else might not think so until after the accident occurred. So one's cause and effect, in my opinion.
Well, the actual wording is substantial and direct impact, which is a different, I assume you would know that's a different bar than potential in terms of bringing an actual issue to negotiation.
Right. Well, I totally agree with that, and that's why I gave the extremes of the potential. Substantial is going from one person to from four person to one. That's a pretty substantial difference. The potential would be, say, you went down to three. It's a potential, but not a substantial. It's not a bigger gap. And that's, to my definition, that's the difference we're looking there for. One's a potential, and what's substantial? Substantial is probably more likely. But to allow the conversation doesn't obligate anybody. The conversation can be about, is this substantial or is this potential? Without the conversation, we never get to what the true impact could or would be.
Are you aware of fire departments around the state that when they feel like they have a substantial or direct impact on the safety of their folks, that they're not allowed to discuss it with their jurisdiction?
I believe that most local departments are doing the right thing. What happens is there's the ability to have that conversation makes everybody's relationships better. We can have it in a safety committee meeting, and that's okay, but we can't have it at the bargaining table. And why would that be?
Are you aware of any fire department around the state that is not allowed to discuss substantial or direct impact of safety to fire personnel?
I believe once they can get an agreement to the word substantial, then the conversation exists. But that's the debate. Is it substantial or is it potential? And that's the debate that happens before we can even talk about it. And without talking about it, how do we find out whether it's substantial or potential without having that conversation? I believe this legislative bill is going to be helpful in communicating and creating partnerships between labor and management. I think for the most part, that happens in our state, but I think this bill will give everybody an understanding that the conversation should take place.
Are you talking about this resolution today or the bills in Salem?
I came prepared today to talk about the bill in Salem. Safety is paramount to me. I would agree that transfers per se from one station house to the other, for a specific example, should not be part of this collective mandatory bargaining process. Again, if I transfer to one person transferred to a fire station all by themselves, then that transfer should be, because it's different than going from one four-person house to another four-person house. If we build a new station and we're going to send one person up there, that transfer should be discussed as a safety component.
Just one person total?
Correct. That's what I'm talking about. Is that
you mean going to from a four-person to a one-person?
Right, because transfers is broad. When I say transfer, I can say, okay, I want, you know, everybody walk over there. You are all transferred. If only one person walks over there, it's still a transfer. So the conversation would still take place under the idea of safety, not the transfer itself.
The police chief was asked about the specific program, the return to work, that if the police union had any concerns about that. I'd like to ask you the same question in terms of the fire union regarding the return to work program.
I wasn't prepared to answer those questions, but if I would love to. And that is that I've met several occasions, several meeting more than three, and I've been trying to get answers to fairly complex questions. And maybe you've seen them. I've provided Ron McGee, I've provided our fire chief with a list of questions that we needed to get answers to gain our full support of the return to work program. One of them that is the most concerning, and there's several, and I'd love to meet with you privately and discuss all of them, but as a member falls off a roof, he's got a hurt back, he's disabled, he's been disabled for 7 years, his back periodically flares up on him. His doctor okays him for the return to work program. He comes back, now he does some inspections for 5 or 6 years. If when he retires, is his back, the medical treatment for his back injury, going to be covered? And I would ask you, do you know the answer to that question?
I've never heard the question before, so I'd have to look at it. I'm not the fire commissioner.
Okay.
But I would like to meet with you in regards to that. I thought that they did prepare a response to you.
I've got a response to my 9 questions, but the key component is if someone gives up their bodily ability to live their life and then they come back to a return to work program, as I understand it, by the fact that they return to work, then at time of retirement, their medical condition would not be covered. And yes, our union has concerns about that.
Okay.
So I would love to discuss that in further, but that's probably another discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, my understanding of that was not the intent, and that we were going to try and fix it.
Yeah.
But I thought we'd all talked about that. Maybe I'm.
I would
imagining last, something different.
I would love to sit down and discuss in depth the 9 questions that I proposed about a month ago. Thank you.
Before Amanda, I got one more question for you, Mr. Burns.
Yes.
So I'm not sure. Do you agree then with the whereas that was added? That says assignments, transfers, and other routine personnel decisions made by management are not safety issues.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the actual content of the resolution, so I would reserve the right to look at it further at another point and weigh in, of course. But I think, in essence, yes, if it's not a safety-related issue, the resolution helps protect the lives of firefighters and safety public safety officers.
So those aren't safety issues then?
Correct, other than the example that I gave you, that transfers, a one-person transfer to a station all by themselves is a safety
sure.
component.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. And then I guess just I would elaborate, and I'm going to ask you the same thing, Robert, elaborate and say, would you also agree that return to work is not a safety issue? I agree there's an issue about the coverage for an injury, but return to work itself is not a safety issue.
Right, as long as the doctor has... The appropriate doctor has approved that person to come back to work to do an assigned position. That in itself is not a safety concern. Now, our union would reserve the right if we make up new positions as a result of the return to work program. We feel like we should at least have that conversation, whether it's a bargaining or just a meeting that says, can we outline who qualifies for these positions and for how long and what were their pay being? We would like to have that discussion still.
If I can just make one observation, it's not a question. If the firefighters in Portland have watched this exchange, and from my experience, they probably are. They're quite pleased with your performance today, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent performance right out of the gate.
Good morning. I'm Amanda Fritz, speaking for myself. Commissioner Adams, it's good to see you back. And I'm wondering, did you receive good nursing care while you were in the hospital?
I received excellent nursing care at Emmanuel Hospital. Yes.
That was the right answer.
I'm glad to hear it. That is the answer I was expecting. And one of the reasons is because the 2003 and 2005 legislatures passed House Bills 2800. They both happened to be 2800. Those acts required input of staff nurses in preparing hospital staffing plans. Safe staffing was one of the reasons for the Oregon Nurses Association's OHSU strike in 2001. My Strike Survivor t-shirt says, "Respect nurses." I'm asking you to respect your public service safety staff. What are you afraid of? Public safety staff are not allowed to strike. This merely allows them to talk. From my observation, we don't have a problem with police and firefighters sitting around with too little to do. I've more often seen officers insist, "Oh no, I can do that by myself," and end up with on-the-job injuries. Trust your staff. This bill and this resolution allows them to participate in safe staffing discussions. What is so dangerous about that? Safe staffing affects citizens as well as officers. You do not want me as your nurse after 16 hours of working mandatory overtime. Neither do we as citizens want our officers having to work mandatory overtime when they don't feel safe to do so. Please pass this resolution.
Good morning, Council, Mayor. I'm Robert King. I'm the President of the Police Association. I am genuinely grateful to each of you that this discussion is playing out in the way that it is. Mayor, you routinely say that we'll often disagree and that we should do so respectfully. I value and appreciate the way that the dialogue unfolds among the five of you. As the officers, the 950 officers, sergeants, detectives, and criminalists that I represent, are not always, you might know this, happy with the decisions that you arrive at. But what I respect and value is the way in which democracy and our government happens here in Portland. It's powerful to watch, and I think it leads us to a better product. And the reason I say that is because we're talking, I think for everybody in the room who's looking at this Senate bill or this issue, looks at it maybe from their perspective. The chief from hers, Yvonne from hers, the mayor from yours. I certainly have a unique view of it. I don't doubt that anybody here cares about our safety. I believe you as a council do. I believe that BHR does. I know that the chief cares about our safety. What I think is really unfortunate is I have to scold myself and probably everybody else that has anything to do with this. Since last week, I didn't make any effort to contact anybody. I didn't call the chief and try to sit down and talk with her about my concerns. Mayor, I didn't call you and suggest that I should talk with you about the concerns that I have. I didn't call BHR. Likewise, none of the people that I named called me. There was no discussion that unfolded over the week about this issue that brought the matter here before you today. I think that's unfortunate for a whole variety of different reasons. It's instructive to me. I hope I learned something from that and do a better job at communicating with all of you about an issue that's important like this in the future. Now, the other really important thing for me to say here today is that Senator Prozanski, we're talking about, I understand, two things. One's the resolution, the other's the Senate bill. On the Senate bill, Senator Prozanski made a suggestion or recommendation to the chiefs and to the sheriff's association that they eliminate potential and workload. The words potential and workload. I've heard a lot of the discussion here today focused on both of those words and the impact that it would have on the city and its operation. And yes, we, the sponsors of the bill, the Oregon Council of Police Associations, are willing to make those modifications to make Senate Bill 400 happen in the state of Oregon. So that, I think, is really unfortunate that the sheriffs and the chiefs said no in the same way you heard the chief say no here today. With respect to the resolution, I do not run the police bureau. I don't want to run the police bureau. It's clear that there are certain rights that are accorded to management, the transfer, for example, the assignment of work, the operation of the Bureau schedules. There's a whole host of things that under the law and under the current contract are not subject to the grievance procedure, and I don't want them to be. I just think that it's unfortunate that safety is as much of a concern to all of us as it is, and yet there's such a hindrance or a block to us having a conversation about it collectively that actually leads us to a compromise and a resolution that makes us safer, satisfies your concerns. I think that's the sort of the most disappointing thing about this whole process, and I appreciate Commissioner Sten's words and his leadership. And when I say leadership, you usually hear leadership used in a way that's patronizing to somebody because they've done what you wanted them to do. I think that leadership is disappointing people at a rate that they can tolerate or that they can absorb. And when I say that about Commissioner Sten, he's not giving me everything I want. He's not giving the fire union everything they want. He's not giving the city everything he wants. He's recognizing that we're in this situation together and that in all likelihood, yeah, the bill is going to pass. And that really, wouldn't it be better for all of us to work on language that fits better so that you have your concerns met and we have our concerns met? And at the end of the day, just so everybody in the room is clear, we've done a better job of protecting police officers and firefighters. We've done that together. And most importantly, we've done a good job of protecting our community, which is what our job is. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you the same question I asked Mr. Burns. So the statement, assignments, transfers, and other routine personnel decisions made by management are not safety issues.
Correct.
Do you agree with that?
I do.
And also return to work issues are not safety issues?
You know, Mayor, Commissioner Saltzman, I know and understand you have a focus and a concern on FPD&R. I've watched that play out over the last couple of years. I do not believe that this is a way in which we could raise issues about return to work. I do want you to know, in the same way that that Ken has spelled out, that I have real concerns about the return to work program. Not that people are returned to work and that they have jobs and they're taken off of disability, but a couple of examples. One, the example that Ken mentioned, I really am concerned that the charter language for the city allows for the disability of the injured officer or firefighter to only, that the medical costs related to the disability to be paid for in their retirement only if they complete 30 years of service and they then retire. That's the only way in which that the back injury gets paid for. What's happened in the Fire Bureau and what's happened in the Police Bureau recently is people who have been off work for substantial periods of time have been forced back to work. One police officer, for example, has 29 years and some months service. He has a bad back, among other injuries, and he sent a letter to the Police Bureau telling him, get back to work. We're going to cut your disability benefits. You have to return to work. Well, if he retires, he loses out on the opportunity to have his back injury paid for, which I don't think is fair. And if he comes back to work, then he retires at 30 years, he's not on disability, and his insurance is likely not to cover a pre-existing work-related injury. So I think that's fundamentally wrong. I'd like to find a way for us to address that. And the other concern is that the political pressure that's being brought to FPD&R and to our disability system, I think, is in some ways is merited and valuable, given the recent ballot measure that passed. You see that there was community support for that. But there's one officer who is he's a pilot for the governor of Montana. He was injured. He was medically retired. He was disabled. And he was retrained as a pilot. And now he's being told by the city, he's relocated with his wife and family to Montana. Get back to Portland. We have a job for you. If you don't come back to work, we're going to cut your disability benefits. So he's having to choose between staying in Montana and flying for the governor of the state of Montana or returning to Portland, which, you know, as you can imagine, creates a whole host of problems for him and for his family. So, no, I don't think that Senate Bill 400 passed either in its current form or with the amendments that I've suggested is a way for us or an opportunity for us to raise concerns about the return to work program. I think that generally speaking, the return to work program is important and is positive. And it was really the failure of the past council that eliminated the desk positions, eliminated return to work. We've always been in support of that.
Okay. Thanks.
I want to ask you, Robert, as I did Ken, about the difference that you see between substantial and direct impact versus potential.
You know, as I said, Mayor, we're completely willing to take the word potential out of the law. We're completely willing to take the word potential out of the law itself. So I don't see where that's an issue really for us at all.
I mean, and to keep it as substantial and direct impact?
You know, this bill, one of the points that was made here today, I think, is really an important one. direct and substantial, as you look back over the years and the arbitration awards that are there, or the bargaining that's happened, it doesn't allow us to talk about the issues that we face related to staffing and safety in the way we'd like to. So we've written this bill. This allows us to talk about safety, and it allows us to talk about staffing in a way that we think is more meaningful. And the real problem that I see happening, I think is really unfortunate, is that everybody is just fundamentally afraid, afraid that there'll be grievances, afraid there'll be bargaining, afraid that there will be ULPs. We haven't used that process since 2004 in the contract talks because we weren't able to reach a settlement. We think often we'll be able to reach settlements. And it just provides a way for us to be able to talk about it in the law in the way that it isn't written today.
So I just wanted to, you mentioned, you know, and I appreciate the candor in saying that, you know, you were remiss in not picking up the phone last week, and but nor did anybody else. So if people picked up their phones this week and we set this over 1 week, do you think we could come up with something that we could all support? I mean, I sense there might be that opportunity. I don't know how the sponsors feel about that, but just wanted
that. Well, since you asked, I don't feel real good about that. Okay. Because, if this passes, what this does is create the forum to actually do what you want to do. I mean, I'm just really kind of taken back at the reaching for straws that is going on here to justify a no vote. This resolution creates the forum that you're asking for. This actually gives direction to us, I think, to sit down with the unions and say, okay, given that this resolution passed, what is the appropriate language for an amendment to Senate Bill 400 to allow this discussion to actually find itself into some balanced language that we can all support?
Well, and just so it's clear that Randy and I don't work in lockstep, if the members of the council that were, and I appreciate your passion, Commissioner Leonard, if the members of the council who are arguing against this resolution sincerely felt that something of the kind that I've been trying to articulate today and apparently didn't do a great job last week of articulating had some promise, I would certainly be amenable to taking a week to see if we could get there. Because I do think that whether or not we weigh in heavily in Salem can be debated. When we weigh in on a split voice, there's no doubt that we have virtually no impact.
But that's, to me, an important consideration. But frankly, right now, we have a mayor who spent most of Monday and an entire bureaucracy that has spent the last 2 weeks focused on killing this bill in Salem. And that remains the policy of the city of Portland. Excuse me. That remains the policy of the city of Portland until this council acts in a deliberate way to change that. That's what we're doing here today.
I thought you said this resolution had nothing to do with 2404 or 400. Is that correct?
Mayor, what I said was the current policy of the city, as adopted in the legislative program, is to oppose any legislation, specifically 400. What this resolution says is that we will support it on the condition that any language in it that deals with transfers or workload be removed.
And it also could be read that we would continue to oppose it until that has changed. That section has changed.
Of course, absolutely. Well, thank you for finally getting that.
But quite frankly, Robert, I think you make a very compelling case. If we could sit down, and I think what Commissioner Stinn said is, and if we have five folks voting for this, it has more impact inside them than just a split vote. And I think that we're all been remiss in terms of not sitting down and talking about what we could do together to make this something that we could live with and that we could support. And I would commit the resources of my bureaus to work with you and the fire union and BOEC to come up with something that we could write. And I don't know that we're too far off. I just think that it needs to be worked out. And I'm...
Well, what is that in this resolution that we're looking at that needs to be changed?
This makes no reference to the issue of potential versus direct or substantial. So I think that would be something worthy of discussion. Robert said he doesn't mind taking that out.
Well, if we're actually going to start a collaborative process around here, I'm all for it.
Good.
I've been waiting to see that happen. So if that happens in the next week, I'm on board. But that hasn't been my experience up till now. If that's what you're committing to, and we come back, committed to come back with another resolution, I'm fine with that. But excuse me for being a little bit skeptical that that's going to happen. But I'll give it a chance for a week if that's what I'm hearing.
But
to come back with an amendment to this resolution, not that we're going to blow this off and not do anything.
Well, and frankly, in the spirit of Mr. King's
diplomacy,
which I appreciate, and I'm complimented that you believe I'm disappointing people at a reasonable rate. I think that's good. I actually know the context of that theory. I tend to agree with that. I could use another week to work with the League of Cities. Now, I think there's been some misunderstanding of my position in particular, and I also think that, you know, I think we are in a heated, and that's why I was kind of pushing on Yvonne. I think we're in a sort of, my analogy is an arbitration environment where you either get it all or you get nothing, and I think that particularly those folks who are against Senate Bill 400, I think would be well advised to try and change that dynamic, because I think they're likely to get nothing, is my read of the votes down there. So I think this is a good opportunity to actually, though they may not see it at this moment, help some of the other cities who don't have as much of the built-up relationship to show a different path. And so I could use a week to work with League of Cities on this.
But just so that I understand, Commissioner Stinn, your idea then is to actually craft language that we would amend into this resolution that we would vote on a week from now.
Yes.
Okay. With the unions, BHR, a group that coming together that is committed, and I'm committing, as I think you would for BOEC, Commissioner Stinn for FIRE, to have those resources available to craft that kind of language to come back next.
Absolutely.
And I think it would be good if we could also see if there were ways that the LOC recommendation could be crafted into it as well, so that it meets a larger statewide interest as well.
Well,
Mr. Mayor, could I comment briefly? Is it your impression right now that if one was in Salem, that they would have the impression that this city council opposes House Bill 400 currently?
Oh, they do.
We're on record as that.
Yeah, there's a.
Okay. I guess my request would be, if we're not able to craft a resolution today, is that there would be some neutral ground formed, because every day, every week that goes by with that, with the opposition, it will be more and more difficult to go back and stay neutral, or in fact actually craft language that everybody can accept. Right now, that would be my impression, that your personal or the commissioners weighing in opposing every day carries weight. And I agree, we don't swing the whole state, but I think it's important, as when Robert and I speak, that we're speaking for a unified group. And so that would be my only concern, is that it sits for a week when it sounds like we might even be neutral and we're working on something, but in the meantime, we're opposed to it. I just want to know if that can be communicated.
Well, actually, it's been communicated by various people on this council. So,
well,
but the point, let me finish. The point is that rather than talking about who is opposing it and who is supporting it, what I heard Robert saying is that we're going to try to find that middle ground over the next week, so that's not the issue. And I doubt very much that this is going to be voted on in the next week. There's a lot of stuff to be done yet. So I think that by doing this, we may eliminate sort of the both ends of this spectrum and find that sweet spot in the middle that everybody can live with, because it does protect the officers, it does protect the cities, and that it does so in a manner that moves forward our common agendas. And that's what I want.
Are you willing to let our lobbyists in Salem know that they should stay out of the discussion on this until we resolve it?
Yes.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Just to stay out of the discussion.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is that fair?
Motion to set it over or take it back to your office?
No, I would just ask that we set this over until its regular and proper place on Wednesday's calendar following.
Yeah. But I also would like us then to meet immediately after this adjournment to at least figure out how we're going to get the group together, who will be the group to move.
And since you mentioned that, I really don't think it's appropriate for us to have a member of the League of Oregon Cities in a discussion that this city is having as its own sovereign municipality about its policy with respect to this issue.
Are you saying you want to exclude Commissioner Stinn?
No, you said that you wanted to adopt some League of Oregon City language.
He's a member of the League of Oregon Cities, as I am, and that what he was saying is that they're crafting some legislation. By him having that connection is what I understood.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting they be on our work group. No. I'm suggesting that I need a little more time
to talk with them.
To talk with them about what their intention is.
And I heard that, but I heard you say that there was something you wanted from them that would be...
Through Commissioner Stanton.
Okay, I'm misunderstanding.
So our president is Bob Austin, who's the mayor of SDK, and he and I have been talking yesterday and all morning, and we may end up differing from the league position. There's no doubt about that in the sense that we may not, but the very small cities don't have the mechanisms we have to work with their unions, and it's just a very different dynamic. And so they may ultimately take a position that they want no change in the law. That would not surprise me. On the other hand, they understand that this thing is from their point of view precariously close to passing. And I've been kind of putting forward to them that while the dynamics are different in Portland, while some of our council may have some different views on this legislation, I think we might be able to help craft an outcome that's better for everybody. And they certainly are hearing that.
I appreciate that.
And where that leads them in terms of the League of Cities position, I'm just not sure.
Okay.
It's a pretty heated issue at that board.
Commissioner Adams?
Yeah, I just want to make a few comments, and I appreciate the effort, and then I will have involvement and my staff involved in the efforts over the next week to come up with an alternative. But I do support, given the fact that, as Amanda mentioned, that public safety workers do not have the ability to strike, I do support the direction and this resolution as written, allowing them to bring public safety issues and potential public safety issues to the bargaining table. And I do so from my inside point of view for 11 years as chief of staff to the former police commissioner, where there were issues that were in the environment that were public safety, worker-related safety issues that were not part of the bargaining process, but were definitely in the environment. We have, I think it's kind of ironic for this discussion, I mean, we have a mayor who is aggressively pursuing the necessary technology upgrades in 800 megahertz and other technology issues that have been real public safety issues for officers for a long time. And you're addressing those, Mayor, and it's your leadership and your work as the commissioner in charge. But those issues have been around for a number of years. Commissioner Leonard has been very aggressive in seeking the necessary upgrades at BOAC that have hindered or put at risk public safety workers in the city. I think those issues would have been dealt with quicker by previous councils, sooner by previous councils, if this safety was an allowable bargaining topic. So I'm supporting this because from my inside view of 11 years working on these issues with the former police commissioner, I like the fact that this resolution is narrowly tailored to the safety issues. And I think it's the appropriate position of the city. Thank you.
Thank you, folks, very much for coming. Is that all the folks who are signed up?
That was all who signed up.
Okay.
I think we have set it over. Do we have to take a formal vote to set it over for a week, Carla?
Pardon? Motion? Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Move to postpone till next Wednesday's regular calendar.
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the next item.
Item 157, declare the City of Portland support of Portland Development Commission employee efforts to organize.
You have an amendment.
Yes.
Would you like to do the amendment before any remarks are made?
Yes, I thank you. In order to do that, I have to hand you the gavel. You're going to take care of it, aren't
sure.
you?
throwing.
I can rule you out of order pretty quick now, and I think I also have the authority to remove you if you don't control yourself. So be careful.
You're talking to him or me?
Well, all
somebody
of you, actually.
In the room. Could you I think that this resolution, or amendment, excuse me, has been discussed with each of your staffs.
Yes.
And it says, declare the City of Portland support of Portland Development Commission employees' right to organize if they choose. And that was the major point for me. It was sort of the neutrality of this, is that if that's their choice, then we support that. And that's the purpose of this particular motion, and I move to amend the language to include this amendment.
Is there a second?
Discussion?
Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, from my view, your language clarifies what I think is implicit in what I originally drafted with Commissioner Sten, so I think it's absolutely fine.
Other discussion?
Yeah, as the co-sponsor of this resolution, I have no objection to the amendment.
Further discussion?
I had an amendment I wanted to offer as well.
Oh. Do you want to do that before this one is adopted?
Oh, no.
Okay. Can we call the roll on this amendment?
Roll, please.
Adams?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye. Passes.
Oh. Commissioner
Sten. That was the peaceful transition of power. Very impressive.
The last time that'll be seen.
Well, I offer this amendment, you know, having just served with Commissioner Sten for last month or so, along with PDC Commissioners Rosenbaum and Will Hoyt, and then our citizen member John Cruz, going through the PDC's budget, urban renewal area by urban renewal area, hearing from a lot of the employees. I think, you know, I'm concerned that they, you know, there's a lot of great.
Excuse me, do you have a copy of the amendment we can look at?
Well, I was going to read it. It's just pretty quick.
Could you read it first so we can
okay. Have
that in our hands as we listen to your very okay. Fine words?
Be it further resolved that the Portland City Council expresses its deep appreciation for the work that all the individuals at PDC do on behalf of the citizens of Portland.
That's very controversial.
Is that to replace the existing language?
No, just to be added as a further resolve. it's a substitute, yeah.
Second.
No, I just think, you know, I think we all appreciate the work and realize there's a lot of talented employees at PDC. And I think we also all realize, for a variety of reasons, there's a lot of mixed messages in the media these days about the caliber of the work that the PDC is doing. And I just think this council should go on record as stating we do appreciate the work it does. We may have different opinions about, you know, who should have ultimate budget authority and things like that. But the work they do is high caliber, and this resolve simply says that.
I support that.
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Okay. Maybe I can just give some explanation as to, with those amendments now in place, I don't think they really change at all the substance of what Commissioner Sten and I drafted. Of course, most of us are aware of the and I do characterize what has happened in a PDC as a transition, and I think it's actually a healthy transition. I would disagree with those who have interpreted some of what has been said in here in general, but specifically by me, as attempts to undermine the goals of the agency. I couldn't disagree more. I actually very much, in my whole actually political career, have been a strong proponent of economic development initiatives. In Salem, I oftentimes supported economic development initiatives that other Democrats didn't. And I did because I do connect that doing smart things with tax dollars and property creates good family wage jobs and creates a better, in this case, city for all of us. So my efforts at the PDC, or with the PDC, have been to create a path upon which it can be the agency that I think Portlanders want it to be, and I fear that it is not that now. One of the, I think, actually signs of health restoring itself to that agency is that now the workers want to collectively organize. I have been disappointed to read and hear criticisms that the attempt to unionize the workforce is, in fact, one more symptom of the lack of direction of the PDC and one more symptom of the failure of management to be able to control its destiny. That's offensive to workers, and it is offensive to those who believe, as I do, that people are not products, but are people whose labors should be respected and thus should have the right to have somebody speak for them with their employer about their issues. That's what I believe is a fundamental right of all employees. I actually think it's healthy when we get to the place that an organization is asking questions of itself internally and challenging decisions that are being made in a productive way, not a destructive way. There's a fine line. I would agree with anyone about that. But what I'm hearing happen at the agency is not destructive and not, I think, demeaning to the mission of the Portland Development Commission, but rather a healthy sign of growth. And what I think we'll finally see here in a short period of time, meaning the next year or two, the arrival of an agency that balances the interest of economic development with the poorest communities in Portland, with the people that work for it, with the goals of the city council. And all of those things aren't happening right now. And when those do happen, I think we'll find that they're not at odds with each other, but actually much like pistons in an engine that fire systematically, in a coordinated fashion, that working together creates more horsepower than if one of the pistons isn't firing or the spark plug is unplugged. That's how I view the agency today. So I think this effort by the council to recognize, and I want you to know that I also spoke with the executive director about this and suggested to him that versus kind of the traditional adversarial approach that is taking from management to employees to unionize, to do something different, to actually go to the employees and say, I've rethought the position that I have taken. And I actually think it's a healthy thing for you, the workforce, to organize. And I not only support it, I want to help facilitate it. I want to begin by starting off on the right foot and having us organize labor management committees, which have successfully turned around the Bureau of Development Services in this city. I just honestly and earnestly believe that if PDC adopted some of those strategies we used at the Portland Development or at the Bureau of Development Services, it would have similar results. So I appreciate the ability to have this discussion today, and hope the council can support this. Thank you.
Do we have a sign-up sheet?
We did. No one signed up.
Please call the vote. The further discussion? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Leonard for bringing this forward because it gives me the opportunity to reiterate what is a central and core value for me and to reiterate the fact, my values, that it is the nation's workers anywhere right to organize themselves or to seek to organize themselves. That is a fundamental right of this nation, one that I support, not just in the private sector, not just in other public agencies or organizations, but in our own. I would just also use this as an opportunity to underscore two other sort of related issues in our own house, and that is we continue to employ seasonal workers in the city of Portland that have, I believe, inadequate access to health care. I voted against the last renewal that came forward as a protest vote for that. And I just want to reiterate to our staff that's listening that we need to move on that. It doesn't necessarily, they're not necessarily asking for it, nor does it necessarily mean they have the same package as every other worker and the full-time worker in the city. But I have seasonal workers in my bureau. The bureaus, there are other seasonal workers, and we need to do something that is equitable for them. And the other issue is that over the years there has been creeping there's been a sort of a creeping designation of non-represented employees in the city that I believe indeed should be allowed to consider being part of organized labor bargaining units, and we need to be honest with ourselves about that issue as well. So I'm going to support this, using it as an opportunity as well to thank the folks at PDC for being responsive to our concerns. Our concerns have been well-intentioned, and we appreciate those that have been willing to work with us on those concerns. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, I apparently overestimated what I thought was going to be happening here today. I thought we would have quite a lively discussion, and I'm pleasantly taken back that that's not happening. I actually appreciate that. So I do want to kind of springboard off what Commissioner Adams and say that there have been some who have communicated to me that some of the criticisms I've made may have been criticisms that the frontline staff have thought I was making of them, and that I just want to be able to say, because I hope if they're not listening, maybe at some point they will hear that nothing can be further from the truth. I have as many opportunities as I've been able to take said how great my relationship has been with frontline staff people, and very specifically on this initiative to bring a biodiesel industry to Portland. And I've worked very closely with them over the last 18 months or so on very specific efforts to do that, and I cannot be more impressed with the work that the staff has done, with the knowledge that they bring to me and the folks that we have been talking with that are interested in creating what ends up being a huge tax base here in Portland and family wage jobs that I think we're going to see occur very soon as a result of this excellent work that PDC has done. In working with us in bringing some cutting-edge technology that will produce biofuels for not just local use, but actually to be an export product that will be exported from the Port of Portland to points, as I've said here before, around not only the United States, but the Western Hemisphere. So I just want to make it really clear that I am a strong defender of their good work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this council in January of 2003 passed a resolution supporting union organizing and collective bargaining. In March of 2005, we declared our support for workers' freedom to form unions and urged Congress to pass the Employee Free Choice Act. So I see this resolution that we're passing today as amended is entirely consistent with the position I think each one of us shares individually, but we've also expressed collectively as a council of workers' rights to organize unfettered from campaigns against those by management. So I think that the resolution has ended in a good place, landed in a good place, and it truly does put this council on record in saying to the employees, exercise your right to choose. And I know, as we all stated too, we have a lot of respect for the caliber of the employees there. They're very talented individuals, and I'm sure they're more than capable of deciding whether joining a union or not is in their best interest. So I look forward to finding out what the results are when that election happens, but this is a good resolution. Aye.
Sten.
Well, I appreciate all the comments. I've worked closely with PDC for a decade and a half, and as anybody would probably agree, I think PDC has been extraordinarily pivotal in the shaping of our city. Many of the good things people talk about and identify with Portland, they had a major hand in. They also have, in years that precede, I think probably everybody that works there, been a very destructive first force in Portland. The current charter was used to clear out vacant land around Emmanuel Hospital. It's still vacant and bothers people to this date. And so it's like anything. It can be good or bad. And I think we have terrific employees there who have been doing a very good job. And I very much appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's language to make that clear. I also believe that it's a time of change and that the agency that was set up in the 50s will not be successful until it revamps itself. And my push and at times criticisms and challenges to the agency are based on a notion that I think Portland's future is tied to the future of the Portland Development Commission, and I don't think as it stands right now it's ready for that task. And I think it's time to keep pushing harder, but collectively, hopefully with some humbleness that we don't any of us have all the answers, The way I originally wrote this resolution was I believe the employees should organize. As I look at the turnover that's there, I look at the issues, as I talk with people both confidentially and on the record, I hear a sense that they need a clearer voice. And so I certainly didn't have any problem with the mayor amending this to say exercise your right, and if they choose not to organize, I stand completely by that. But my personal opinion is that actually having worked with many large agencies, I actually find it easier to make significant cultural change when the employees are able to negotiate through representatives and have that ability to make changes and not feel that if they go out there on a limb, they're going to be the one that gets axed for it. So I think when you look at an agency that we desperately need, that has done terrific work but needs to go through cultural change, having the employees represented, I think, is a good step. And so, yeah, I agree with the council taking the right position. I'm just giving my own personal view on it in addition to the council's point of view. And I look forward to PDC continuing through this and becoming an agency that can be successful throughout the city, that can work to do affordable housing that they're doing very well right now in addition to redevelopment, and can change, I think, from a sort of traditional view of economic development, which is essentially bricks and mortars in the central city, to one that's more current in a world where capital is moving and workers have more choices, and we need to be more engaged in creative activities. And I think this agency is moving in the right direction, and I think it's been tough. And I think that this step could potentially, if it's done right and if the employees choose, help the agency get where it needs to go. Aye.
Hodder.
One of the interesting things about this council is that we tend to see all the problems that other folks don't resolve, and they eventually come to us for resolution. And thus, I think often it's perceived in the public's mind that when we're dealing with these issues, that it's only the problems that that comprise an agency or bureau of the city. And that I've been guilty myself of not balancing out the fact of all the good work that PDC does with the issues and problems that we know that they're struggling with, and that our commitment is to help them get through that and be a better agency as the result. So I really appreciate, Commissioner Salzman, you adding the part about the good work and your comments, Commissioner Stan and Leonard, about what this organization does, because they do much good work. And I think that has to be recognized. But it's also recognized, as Commissioner Stan has said, we don't have all the answers, but we know what we want to work towards, and this is part of that process, is working towards an organization that's not only transparent, but it helps engage its own employees in making better decisions. So I support this, and I look forward to working with PDC on whatever the result of the vote is on whether to unionize or not. And I think that this was a good resolution. I vote aye. Please read the next item.
Item 158, amend contract with Skyward Construction, Inc. to provide additional services for facility improvements at Union Station.
Mayor Potter, City Council members, I am Jim Coker, Project Manager with the Office of Management Finance Facilities Services. This ordinance is for emergency structural repairs that were required as part of the Union Station Facilities Improvement Project. In August of last year, Skyward Construction was authorized to proceed with the construction phase of this project, which includes re-roofing the baggage claim area, masonry repairs, and historic door replacements and repairs. Construction began in September of last year. When the roof sheathing was removed over the baggage claim area in early December, we found a number of broken and cracked joists, and we found that one of the four large skylights had collapsed by about 4 inches due to significant joist failures. In December 12th, Dean Kolb Engineers, the structural engineers on the project, issued a letter designating the roof as a dangerous structure as defined by city code. When the situation was discovered, a major part of the roof was demolished and was being temporarily protected with plastic sheeting from the rain. Skyward Construction